House will come to order. The flag salute will be led by Representative Chris Garrett.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Opening ceremony will be presented by Charles Wallace, the university chaplain at Willamette University here in Salem, a guest of Tobias Reed. Please remain standing.
Let's be in an attitude of prayer, but laughter is also appropriate if you feel so inclined. I'm visiting you from campus across the way because Tobias Reed asked me to pray. It's time to take a breath and remember our profession, our legislative calling in the middle of the session. Let's reestablish contact from way up there above, and I don't mean the feds and I don't mean the gov. It's not a booming summons up in the First Church steeple. It's a still small voice about the needs of all the people. The usual important bills have all by now appeared, and folks back home have great ideas, though some of them are weird. And money doesn't grow on trees, though some might make that bet, but not enough to pay for schools and patch our safety net. Please help us, God, find answers and in every case devise to find a just and decent legislative compromise. Give us grace to take it well when we lose some one-vote squeakers. It's bound to happen now and then when we've got ourselves co-speakers. So grant us, God, some wisdom now and help us get along and finish soon with something like that old Kumbaya song. The time is short. There's lots to do. It's well past 10:30. So add your own imprimatur and shout a loud amen.
Thank you very much for those inspiring words for all of us. Courtesies, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my short time in the legislature, I can't recall too many other times when our opening ceremony has been followed with applause when it wasn't a musical or other sort of performance group. So I'm honored that you all chose to do that for our chaplain, Charlie, from Willamette. You've seen him before, and you know some of his story about a strong academic background in the religious studies department at Willamette and all those other sorts of things. And you've also heard me talk about how often in my career at Willamette I was faced with a difficult choice when at some solemn occasion I was listening to inspiring words from him and had to ask myself, is it appropriate to laugh? And now you know a little bit more about what that's like. Thank you, Charlie, for coming. Thanks for your perspective, and we'll hope to see you again soon. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further courtesies, let me start by introducing a group they can stand up above. It's the International Program from CCC in Silverton. And they're having a historic tour of the building, so if you want to all stand, we'd like to welcome you to your capital. Thank you for being here. Further courtesies, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I would like to introduce the intern who's in my office on Tuesday mornings and on Fridays, who's been doing a great job for us. Hunter Russell was born in North Carolina, but raised in Springfield, Oregon. He's going to the University of Oregon now with a double major in economics and political science, so watch out. One of his claims to fame is that he was on the chess team at Springfield High, which is a fondness for me because I was on the chess team at South Eugene High School, although obviously in different years. He's the youngest of five with three brothers and a sister, so you know that he was the one who was picked on, but not in my office. He's very good. When you get a chance to see him there on Fridays or Tuesday mornings, introduce yourselves. Thank you, colleagues. Russell Hunter.
Further courtesies. Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Quorum is present, excused, Cowan and Lindsay, excused business, Hunt and Jefferson Smith. What about? And Representative Tomei also excused. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bills 1564, 1552, adopted SCR 205. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed SCR 207.
First readings, memorials, and resolutions.
SCR 205 in memoriam, Betty Roberts, 1923 to 2011.
Measures read the first time are passed the co-speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports, propositions and motions. At this time, we will stand at ease for Representative Cameron. Do you have an announcement about standing at ease right now for?
Mr. Speaker, I believe you're requesting that we stand at ease for the purposes of a caucus on the floor very quickly.
Very good. Thank you.
And
yes.
We invite you to join us, Mr. Speaker, since we're doing that.
Thank you.
Just a very quick on-the-floor caucus in the back.
Representative Kotek? Okay. I also stand at ease. We ended with propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 4174 relating to ballots and declaring an emergency. House Bill 4176 relating to counties in fiscal distress and declaring an emergency. House Bill 4177 relating to county assessment function funding assistance payments and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 4171 relating to election filing deadlines and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the second time are passed to third reading. Third reading of House bills. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that House Bill 4027 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Monday, February 20th, 2012 calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4021 relating to Maine special agents and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4021A. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 4021A comes to you from the Judiciary Committee, where it passed out on a 6-1 vote. The bill requires the Superintendent of State Police to commission employees of the Oregon Humane Society as humane special agents if the employee is certified by the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training and the agent furnishes the state police with a copy of an insurance policy sufficient to satisfy any tort claims against the agent. It allows the Superintendent of State Police to revoke the commission if the agent is no longer working for a humane society or has abused the commission. It requires special agents to work cooperatively with law enforcement and requires them to defer to law enforcement. It limits the special agent to enforcing animal welfare laws. It grants special agents the same power as police officers when enforcing animal welfare laws. It allows the superintendent to adopt rules concerning whether a humane special agent may carry a firearm while acting as a humane special agent. And it removes the humane special agents from the provisions that allow law enforcement to conduct wiretap investigations or to tape a conversation without a court order. This has a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact. It's a good bill and deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barker does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Freeman, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Representative Buckley? Business of the House? Okay, House Bill 4021A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed.
Clerk will read next bill.
House Bill 4057 relating to higher education employees and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4057A, Representative Denbrough.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 4057 is a small bill but an important one. It actually started much larger, but we have whittled it down to its essence, and that is this is something that the universities need. You may remember that last session we passed Senate Bill 242, which gave the Oregon University system more of an autonomous status. It's no longer a state agency. And as part of that, we authorized the universities to create labor management committees to look at possible changes to their benefits plans and their retirement plans now that they're no longer a state agency. That process has begun, and it is a very energetic, participatory process. The bill has a deadline for their coming to a final report of October 1st, 2012. Because they want to take it out and take it out to the field and really get buy-in, they need to have that extended to December 1st, 2012. And that is it's a desire that's shared by all parties. And colleagues, I urge you to support this bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Dembro, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Comp, how do you vote? Comp votes aye. Representative McLean, how do you vote?
Aye.
McLean votes aye. Representative Conger?
Aye.
Conger votes aye. House Bill 4057A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4072, relating to seasonal fire personnel and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4072A, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 4072 was requested by three fire protection associations. It allows Forest Protective Association employees who work for the Department of Forestry in the summer to contract with the Department of Transportation in the winter. The three fire protection associations are the Douglas Forest Protective Association, the Coos Forest Protective Association, and the Walker Ridge Forest Protective Association. This program, known as Fire and Ice, has been operating with great success since the mid-90s. A small group of Fire Protection Association personnel are highly trained in fire suppression and worked with the Department of Forestry in the summer. In order for the Department of Forestry to retain these specialized employees in the winter months, Forestry has agreed with the Department of Transportation for them to work with snow removal and other minor maintenance tasks during the off-season. During the recent Department of Justice legal review, it was discovered that the statute did not specifically allow employees to provide services that did not directly relate to fire suppression activities. House Bill 4072 allows the Fire Protection Association, Forestry, and Department of Transportation to continue this successful program and retain the highly trained individual the Department of Forestry has depended upon for the last 15 years to fight wildfires. This bill helps a small group of people, about 15 to 20, to keep their jobs. The intent of this bill is to continue an existing practice between the Forest Protective Association, Department of Forestry, and the Department of Transportation. No other state agencies will be able to enter into these agreements or contracts. Amendments to the bill have been worked out that satisfy the initial concerns raised by the Oregon State Firefighters Council and SEIU. This is a narrow bill that will provide a technical fix needed to continue the fire and ice agreements. House Bill 4072 will be directly responsible for keeping a couple of dozen jobs in rural Oregon. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Nice to see you up there. Just wanted to read one item into the record. We wanted to just get on the record that there, since the inception of this program, there has never been any displacement of an ODOT or ODF worker by any of the Fire Protection Association employees, and it's the intent of the legislature to continue that trend and understanding. Thank you. Please vote aye.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a bill that means a lot to our area, my area. Both Douglas and Coos County Fire Protection Groups are included in this bill. At the same time, there was never any intention from people that this was going to do anything bigger than just make sure the program that for the last 15 to 16 years has been working exceptionally well could continue. I appreciate that a number of people came together and worked out the amendments to craft a bill that tightly says the program that we've been working on will continue in the future, and a group of 10 to 15 workers will continue their full-time jobs working between with the protection agencies, but also doing some contracted work during the winter with ODOT to clear roads. It is a great bill specifically designed to continue a program which have been working for over 100 years, these Coos Protection, Douglas Protection, in helping keep our forest lands safe from fire. So I urge your eye support.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Esquivel, would you like to close? He does not. Those are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. House Bill 4072A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4089, relating to annexation of non-contiguous territory and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4089A. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Bill 4089 comes unanimously out of the House Ag and Natural Resources Committee. It resolves a strange little glitch in Lane County. Only applies to Lane County and probably only applies to a couple people, but it will resolve a strange glitch in the longstanding annexation pattern in Lane County. I urge your eye support.
Further discussion, Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sometimes there's a property owner who's caught in the middle between state statute and local policy or ordinance, and this is one of those kinds of cases. It probably affects several kinds of property owners. We're trying to solve this problem. It's unfortunate that we have to do it this way sometimes. This is an example of where what we really want is logical and orderly development within an already urbanized area, and we just can't help it happen. It's what everyone supports, compact urban development in an appropriate way. It fixes the problem. What I do want to bring attention to is the way the solution is crafted. There's a very tight deadline. I am concerned that the way the bill is written, if the property owner has done everything possible that they're supposed to do, filed the application on time, if there's a fee, if there are forms to fill out, if the property owner does everything appropriate, but through circumstances beyond the property owner's control, the bureaucracy doesn't meet that December 31st deadline, then what happens? The reason I'm bringing this to our attention is we have assurances that everyone involved will make sure the deadline is met. I just want to put it on the record that as a legislature, we would expect deadlines to be met, and we don't want bureaucracy to get in the way when someone is doing their very best to comply with the law the way it's written. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Wingert, how do you vote? Representative Wingert, how do you vote? Representative Wingert, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Widener, how do you vote? Representative Widener, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Wisnett votes aye. House Bill 4098A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. 4089A is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that House Bill 4090 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Monday, February 20th, 2012 calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4141, related to Workforce Development Legislation Advisory Committee and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 4141A. Representative Dembro.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, as we are all too slowly making our way out of this global recession here in Oregon, we need to make sure that we not only get out, but that we stay out. And to do that, we need to grow Oregon's small businesses and grow them into medium and large-sized businesses. We need to attract new businesses from out of state and keep them here to anchor our communities. We need to make sure that the jobs we create are good jobs, family wage jobs, jobs that can move workers up the ladder to prosperity. And to do all of that, we need a skilled workforce. We need a trained workforce. We need an educated workforce. And that's why we're bringing before you House Bill 4141. I was struck a couple of years ago when I was at a gathering of business leaders and heard a presentation from a member of the Redmond Chamber of Commerce and head of their local economic development team, who told us that in his experience, businesses looking to relocate in this country look first at two things: the stability of the community and the quality of the workforce. He urged us to invest heavily in workforce development as the path to future economic growth. In fact, this state does invest heavily in workforce development, mainly through federal funding streams and programs all over the state. But what exactly are we getting for this investment? How many workers are able to apply their training directly to real and lasting jobs? How much of this training is occupational, and how much of it is in the soft skills of resume writing and interviewing? Important, yes, but not enough. How many programs are out there, and which of them should not be out there? That I cannot say. Colleagues, I'm the co-chair of the House Higher Education Committee. I sit on the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. I've taught in the community colleges for 30 years. And colleagues, I couldn't give you the answers to those questions. Our workforce system simply does not have that accountability that we need. This bill will get us that accountability. I will be the first to say that we have talented, committed, and devoted people doing worker training all over the state, that we have isolated pockets of excellence and short bursts of success. But do we have a coordinated system, a system that works for everyone? Colleagues, I wish that I could say that the community colleges and the trade unions and the universities were working hand in hand to develop our workforce, but they're not. I wish I could tell you that our workforce development system and our economic development system were working hand in hand, but I cannot. I wish I could tell you that our state workforce boards and our local workforce boards were thoroughly aligned, but they are not. I wish I could tell you that our communities were skilled worker ready, but I cannot. I wish I could tell you that our workforce system was not a collection of silos, but I cannot. Colleagues, House Bill 4141 will change that. If you look at the whereases in this bill and the directives that the bill is giving to the governor and the Workforce Investment Board, you'll get a clear sense of the problems that we face and the solutions to those problems that this bill will provoke. We have to squeeze every ounce of success, every drop of success out of our workforce and development system. We simply cannot afford not to. Colleagues, a year from now, I want to be able to stand before you, be able to give you a scorecard, be able to say to you that our workforce development programs have trained this number of workers in Oregon, and this number of workers have gotten jobs, and that these jobs are in high priority areas in these parts of the state, that we're on the path to certifying that Park Rose and Maywood Park and Ontario and Klamath Falls are worker-ready communities, that small businesses all over Oregon are partnering with the state to get their workers the training that they need to grow, that new companies are coming to Oregon, and their reason for doing so is the quality of life in Oregon and the quality of Oregon's workers. To get to that point, we need House Bill 4141. Colleagues, House Bill 4141 passed out of committee unanimously, and I urge you to support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Co-carrier, Representative Johnson. And could everybody keep it down? It's pretty easy to hear everybody chatting, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to add a few comments to my other half of one of the odd couples in the building. The representative from Northeast Portland. One of the things I'm reticent to do is to simply appoint another task force or create another work group. This bill doesn't do that. It just simply asks for the creation of a subcommittee of a group that already is in existence, so we're not creating a new work for a new task force or a new study group. So I just wanted to get that out from the beginning. But also, I just wanted to call your attention to a couple of the whereases. My colleague touched on a few, but one of my insistences with being a part of this was to say, we need to have our eyes wide open if we're really going to find some of the root causes to the economic malaise that we have in this state. Whereas number one says, whereas the per capita income rate in Oregon is the lowest among West Coast states and lags behind the national average. That's a fact. We have to have the ability and the courage to look at that and say, all right, we are not in very good shape. What are our neighbors doing that could be better or different than what we're doing? How can we learn from that? Number two, whereas the unemployment rate in Oregon continues to exceed the national average. We do. We're making progress, but we still lag behind what's going on across the rest of the country. And again, we have to have the courage to face the reality that we may have lived in a beautiful state full of abundant natural resources, but something's not working as well as it could. I think these whereases will help to focus the attention of this advisory group on that. Point number three. The advisory committee shall consult with a variety of Oregon businesses about potential barriers to job creation and expansion in Oregon. We have to have the courage to face what are those barriers that currently are systemic to our economy in Oregon, what can we do to overcome them, and how can we improve this for all Oregonians. So I would just encourage your aye vote to this that came out of our committee unanimously, and I too look forward, as my colleague said, looking forward to some recommendations that could be segued into some truly lasting, meaningful, helpful legislation in our next session. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
And if I were going to ask the good carriers a question, I would ask, where are all these folks going to work at? You know, the other bill the other day, where are those soldiers that turned into teachers going to teach, and how are we going to pay them? My good friend here spoke about the path to future economic growth and making new businesses, small businesses into big businesses. Well, my friends, that path goes right straight through the forests of this state and is running right down that river up north. We do have an army of well-trained people already who are ready to go to work right now, making small businesses into big businesses, keeping businesses afloat. And if we're going to do this, we have to give them something to do. And you all know exactly what that is, and I'm fairly confident we're going to do a good part of that this session. Good bill should pass, and I urge your vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, oh, 1 second. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have Representative. Representative Dembrough wishes not to close, so thank you for that. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative McLean, how do you vote? He voted aye. House Bill 4141A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4158, relating to wolves and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4158A. Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to draw your attention to some handouts placed on your desk. Mr. Speaker, permission to use a visual aid.
Representative Benz requests unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, drawing your attention to this handout, you'll see a map of the four Northwest United States, and you'll see on it I've carefully placed the number of wolves that are in each of those states. And this is an estimate by, of course, the wildlife departments in those states. I want to point out that the dividing line between Oregon and Idaho is the Snake River. The 30 or 40 wolves on the Oregon side have immigrated, if you will, from Idaho, where there are 1,700 of their relatives remaining. That's the backdrop of this bill. This House Bill 4158 is an amendment to our Endangered Species Act. The purpose of it is to bring into compliance the act with the agreement that was worked out by ranchers and environmentalists starting back in 2002. The idea back then, we knew looking into Idaho, there would be all kinds of wolves coming into Oregon. And we knew that the reintroduction of this animal needed to be managed in a way that allowed those who were already in business in that area to survive. This is a way that a minority, the businessmen and women in northeastern Oregon, were able to work with the majority, those who want the wolf reintroduced, to reach an agreement. Colleagues, this means of problem solving, that is, sitting down together and working out an arrangement, is what makes our state worth representing. If we're going to go into a small community and say, this is how it's going to be, get out of the road, we should call this country China. Because we got to see that when I got to visit that country a couple of months ago, kind of a top-down direction. If we're going to work together to do what the majority wants with a cost imposed upon a minority, we need to do it in a careful way, and we did it exactly that way by working out a wolf reintroduction plan. That plan, after it was found out that wolves would actually have to be killed if they started killing cattle, was appealed to the court, and the court, in looking at our ESA, our Endangered Species Act, said, you need to go get this fixed, because under the ESA, it appears ODFNW may not have the power it thought it had when it put together or helped put together this plan. And Mr. Speaker, a second visual aid, if I may.
Representative Benz requests permission, unanimous consent, to use another visual aid. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I draw your attention to the second handout today, and you will see that it is a small quote from Kurt Melcher of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and he says, this bill simply clarifies the commission and the department's authority to implement the plan, that is the Wolf Conservation and Management Plan. The idea here is, colleagues, that you can't, if you're a rancher and you've been issued a depredation permit, and 31 depredation permits have been given to ranchers who are in the communities where these wolves now reside, you can't be out with all of your cattle every night waiting for the wolf to attack so you can utilize one of your 31 issued permits to shoot a wolf. You simply can't do it. The country is too big, too large. So the ODFW needs the authority if a wolf becomes accustomed to eating cattle instead of killing deer and elk. The wolf needs to be killed. And colleagues, I've been amazed at the reluctance of our society to use that word, killed. The words I've read in the paper are, treat the wolf with singular finality. Treat the wolf with extreme prejudice. Take the wolf. No one wants to use the word killed, yet every day the wolf is out killing so it can stay alive. What an odd circumstance. I want to repeat, this bill merely puts us back where we thought we were when we sat down and worked out the plan. And the plan is designed to help reintroduce the wolf. A vote today helps reintroduce the wolf, something most of my constituents are not enthusiastic about, but they sat down and agreed to it. So today is not a vote today is to help reintroduce the wolf. I need to say that as many times as I can, because I think folks who are enthusiastic about raising money by pointing at the ranchers as being those who want to kill the wolves would rather you not vote for this plan. They would rather say, oh my goodness, you're trying to kill the wolves and that's contraindicated if they're endangered. I would draw your attention to my first exhibit, which of course shows that we have a couple of thousand waiting to come in. Colleagues, the best thing you can do for the wolf today is vote for the plan. I encourage that vote, and I very much urge your support in helping us put this back on track so that the ranchers, farmers, and the folks that want to keep staying in business can, and those who want the wolf reintroduced can have their way also. Urge your eye support.
Further discussion, Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to use a visual aid.
Representative Smith requests unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise today to not convince you, to not sway you, to not even ask for your vote on House Bill 4158A, but rather I rise today just to educate and to share with you what's going on in just a little portion of our state. The good representative from Far Eastern Oregon shared a map with you, and on that map he shared with you the number of wolves that we have in the Pacific Northwest. What's driving initially House Bill 4158A is an issue that's in the farthest northeast corner of the state of Oregon, up in a little community called Joseph. Now, how many of you have been to Joseph? Wow, that's awesome. And by the way, we hope you spent your money when you were there. Now, if you've been to Joseph, you know where Wallowa Lake is. Wallowa Lake sits right there at the base of the Eagle Caps and of Hell's Canyon. Well, if you go about 4 or 5 miles north of Wallowa Lake, there's a little stretch of property that's called the Wolf Highway. And what's happening is these gray wolves are residing down in Hell's Canyon, and they're coming out, they're going down this little Wolf Highway, which again is just, it's open land. And what they're doing is they're feeding on cattle, they're feeding on sheep, and they're feeding on mules. And once they do that, then they head back down into Hell's Canyon or up into the Eagle Caps. What House Bill 4158A is going to do is it's going to allow the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to better manage those handful of wolves who for one reason or another have decided that deer, elk, turkeys aren't what they want to eat. They want to eat this livestock. It's going to allow ODFW to go in and manage those handful of wolves. Now, again, I'm not here to convince you on this measure. As I look at the floor letters, it's obvious to me we're talking religion here for some folks. Okay, on the one hand, you have the Oregon Cattlemen's Association with their strong letter of support, and boy, they've got the Farm Bureau and the sheep growers and Water for Life and the sheriffs. And then on the other hand, you have the Oregon Conservation Network and You know, they've got the Thousand Friends of Oregon and Willamette River Keepers and all those folks. I understand the emotion that goes with this issue. What I want you to understand, if you will, today, colleagues, is that we have a group of honest, hardworking folks who are trying to manage their business, their livestock, and you've got just a handful of wolves that are coming through that need to be managed. And so, as the good representative from Far Eastern Oregon said, really, this is not a vote to eliminate wolves, it's a bill to manage wolves. And so, colleagues, I would ask for your support. I guess that's the closer. I would ask for your support on House Bill 4158A. It's a bill that I believe should have bipartisan support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, I rise today in support of this bill and in asking you to join me in support of this bill. And I think the previous speaker hit upon the reason that I want to give to you to ask for your support. And that reason, for those of you who are supporters of the reintroduction of wolves into our society, you are the first people that should be on board to vote for this bill. Understand, those of you who support the reintroduction of wolves into our society should be first in line to vote for this bill. Failure to give the agency the tools they need to manage this issue is more likely to lead to the extinction again of the wolf in Oregon. There's a kind of a saying, SSS, shoot, shovel, and shut up. This is likely what will happen to the wolf if we do not give, through this bill, the agency one of the tools that they need to be able to successfully manage when a pack or an individual wolf takes a liking to beefsteak versus elk steak. And that's the situation we're looking at. And so I ask respectfully for all of your support for this bill. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Benz, do you wish to close? Wait, sorry about that. We had one in the queue that just showed up late. Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What I have a question of the carrier, if possible.
Question of the carrier, will the carrier yield?
Of course.
He does.
I am sorry that I did not get this to you earlier. It occurs to me that wolves tend to hunt in packs. And the idea of taking, killing one may not be the only thing that is required there. You may have to take several if that's the case. Does this particular management system anticipate that situation?
The short answer is that would be best answered by someone from ODF&W that actually knows. My understanding is that the technology we now have available allows us to determine who it is that leads the attack on livestock, which one of those wolves is doing it, and they can then selectively kill that wolf. To the benefit of the remaining wolves in the pack.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
This is probably going to come as a surprise to some folks. I think I'm going to support this bill. I want to support it because I think we've seen folks work together on this situation. I want to support it because I believe that we are seeing an effort to try to be effective wildlife managers. And the approach that's been taken to this bill seems to be an appropriate one. I'm also supporting it because I want to make sure that it's clear that the folks in my district who will not see a wolf except as a pet understand that the folks who are living out in eastern Oregon and are working on their ranches trying to manage things are in fact a part of this state as well. And I'm going to go around the other direction. I want to make it clear that the folks in eastern Oregon understand that the issues that take place in Portland are things that they need to pay attention to as well. We are all part of this state. This is not something that is just one region against another. And we need to reconnect with one another in order to make sure that things are working for the whole state. So I am going to be supporting this bill, and I thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I want to address some of the concerns and the arguments that have been made here. And I want to state that while I certainly do have constituents writing to me in opposition of the bill, and I certainly do not have constituents writing to me in favor of the bill, I am going to vote no on this primarily because of the advice of my friends who will run a ranch in Montana, immediately adjacent to north of Yellowstone Park, and have lived through years of interactions with the wolf population there. Their testimony to me formulates my primary reason for doing this. They believe that compensation for livestock killed by wolves is the best way to go about this and not to kill the wolves. And if we do work with the technology afforded to us, as the carrier of the bill has referenced, what we frequently do is take out the alpha wolf in the pack. Wolves are highly sociable animals, and the structure of the pack then winds up being somewhat chaotic. Again, I'm relying on the advice of my rancher friends in Montana. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Will the carrier yield?
Of course.
He does.
Thank you. I'm trying to understand why we need this change from the bill that we previously passed on wolf management. Why do we need this particular bill to go forward? Because we passed legislation last session that I thought dealt with all this. So I'm curious what the change is and why we need it.
I'm not sure I know exactly what bill you're referring to, but I'm going to take a guess and think that you're referring to the bill that established a compensation fund. Is that what you're talking about? The compensation fund was for $100,000 and imposed a series of requirements upon those counties that chose to ask for some of that $100,000 sum. On today's prices, that $100,000 sum would take care of reimbursement for 66 mother cows. 66. This pack of wolves has already killed somewhere around 20. That fund may or may not be adequate for the rest of the state. The fact that there's a compensation arrangement in place is of interest, but does not go to the point. The point of what ODF&W is saying to us is that we need this tool to focus the wolves' attention upon the very reason they've been brought back to Oregon, and that is to control deer and elk populations, keep them run up out of the riparian areas, and to let more fish habitat be created. That's the argument they use, and it's a decent one. The idea is if they kill the deer and the elk that are wallowing around in these waters, we'll have more salmon. It has nothing to do with reimbursement or the rancher. It has everything to do with making the wolf population serve its intended purpose by letting it back into the state. So to focus on compensation is to completely miss the point. The point here is, if we want to have these wolves serve their ecological purpose, they will eat deer and elk, not cattle, not sheep. So that's why I say a vote here is to follow the people that actually manage these wolves, that we actually pay big money to try to reintroduce these animals, to listen to their good advice, and also to build upon the foundation supplied by the work group that worked so hard over so many years to try to make this thing work. I may have gotten a little beyond the answer to your question, Representative.
Representative Holvey. Further question, or are you ready to speak to the bill?
Further question of the carrier, if I may.
Will a carrier yield to a further question? He will.
Can you answer me, do we not already have a wolf management plan in place that allows the killing of wolves?
Indeed, we do. It allows the issuance of depredation tags to ranchers, and as I pointed out in my opening remarks, 31 have been issued. Those are only allowed if you catch the wolf in the act of killing the animal or harassing it. Wolves, being pretty clever, don't generally show themselves to ranchers. And those who, of course, are familiar, as I know you are, with all of the size of Eastern Oregon, which is millions and millions of acres, it's hard for the rancher to be following every one of her cattle around. And thus, it's unlikely that they would catch the wolf in the act. In fact, they generally sometimes never even find the calf that's been completely devoured, which makes it very difficult to obtain compensation. Again, the point here is we are trying to help reintroduce this animal back into Oregon, we being those that I represent. And this tool is one that we need to do that effectively. That is the amendment to the bill, or to the plan.
Further discussion? Now seeing none, Representative Bentz, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just extremely briefly, all the questions raised are good ones. I would just say that a vote today is a vote for the careful, thoughtful, intelligent way of reintroducing a very interesting animal to our state. And if it's going to serve the purpose for which it's being reintroduced, then we need to appropriately control its numbers and keep it from feeding on cattle. Instead, keep it focused on the deer and elk populations it's supposed to control. And with that, having spent too much time on this bill, I think for many, but certainly enough to bring it to all of our attentions, because it's hugely important to my constituents, I urge an aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Reed, how do you vote? He votes no. Representative Kenny Geyer, how do you vote? He votes no. House Bill 4158A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final readings, memorials, and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 1552 related to foreclosures of residential trustees of property money and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1564 related to notice requirements for sale of property subject to a trust deed and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the first time are passed to the co-speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 1505 relating to civil commitment of Native Americans and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1524 relating to private security professionals and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1525 relating to public safety and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1529 relating to property taxation and prescribing an effective date. Senate Bill 1575 relating to disorderly conduct in the second degree and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the second time or passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1535 relating to use of master form instruments and declaring an emergency.
Let's see. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1535. Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Turn on, computer. Senate Bill 1535 is a technical bill to encourage the recording of affordable housing documents through the use of a master short form. Affordable housing documents can frequently be very long and complex, and the ability to use a short form will be beneficial for affordable housing groups and homeowners. That will mean more documents are recorded without more work having to be done. Good bill should pass.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Jefferson Smith does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, for what purpose were you in the queue? Okay. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? He votes aye. Senate Bill 1535, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House, other business of the Senate, the orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. First, I'm going to read the following announcement. Pursuant to House Rule 8.15 sub 6, we are declaring that sine die of the 2012 legislative session is imminent. Further announcements. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, want to welcome intern of my office, Travis Conley, to the Capitol today. Travis is a senior at Willamette and studying environmental science, and I think has learned quite a bit by hearing our floor debate today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, courtesies under announcements are appropriate if anybody else has one of those. Representative Brewer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is our fifth Ladies at the Legislature that Representative Parrish and I host for ladies from all around the state of Oregon, nonpartisan, high school age and above. And I'd like to introduce the ladies of the month this year at the legislature up there. Wave your hand to them and welcome them down here. We will be privileged by Co-Speaker Roblin, who will be coming in to chat with the ladies. Thank you for coming.
Further announcements. Representative Kotek.
Colleagues, I have a couple vote changes. I move the rules be suspended and that Representative Widener be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 4021. It will not change the outcome.
Representative Kotek moves the rules be suspended and that Representative Widener be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 4021. It will not change the outcome. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Widener, how do you vote?
No.
He votes no. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the rules be suspended and that Representative Huffman be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 4021. It will not change the outcome.
Representative Kotek moves the rules be suspended and that Representative Huffman be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 4021. It will not change the outcome. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Huffman, how do you vote?
No.
He votes no. Representative Kotek, a further announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Democrats, just a reminder, we will be caucusing at lunch. Grab your lunch and join us in the caucus room. Thank you very much.
Further announcements. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to invite everyone in this chamber and those who are listening at home to join me in Mount Angel this very weekend for the best worst fest in the country. It's not quite Oktoberfest, but it's close. The sausage is great. The local brews are great. And I urge you, if you're stuck here, I mean, if you happen to be in Salem over the weekend, or if you're not, come to the Worst Fest tonight, tomorrow all day, and Sunday to 6. Mount Angel, and you can't miss the Worst Fest. It's right in the middle of downtown. You all are welcome.
Further announcements, Representative Cameron. Cameron, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we will not caucus today. We will caucus Monday at 10.
Further announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe this is the most important announcement of the day, and I appreciate you giving me the last shot at it. I'd like permission to use a little visual aid here.
Representative Hanna requests unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Colleagues, co-speakers Hanna and Roblin and the good people in Information Services would invite you today to the Galleria between 12:30 and 2:30 to enjoy a Coca-Cola float. There is a fine little flyer which announces that. We have received very generous donations from, among others, Umpqua Dairy, Walmart, and Coca-Cola Refreshments, so you will have your choice of a Coke, Diet Coke, root beer, or Orange Fanta Creamsicle Float. They are just $2, which means they just cost you $2, but your contribution to make our work for the food bank significant is appreciated, so we will be downstairs serving these floats during the time period, and I would love to see every one of you participate. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, and I just want to make my announcement that it is okay if you are feeling like you can't have those extra calories to buy one for a friend, to buy two for friends, to buy one and not even drink it. Just donate the money directly. We're trying to make sure that the food bank gets a good representative sample from all of those of us here in the House chamber. So, further announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I just want to remind everyone that it's now past a week's time since House Bill 4164, the Health Insurance Exchange Bill, was originally scheduled for a vote, but sent back to committee for a mysterious technical fix. It has yet to be assigned to a subcommittee, and there's currently no amendment. Meanwhile, the Health Care Transformation Bill is now approaching the deadline for referral to committee, and no action has been taken. Normally, this is a formality that gets little notice. Three bills that came to us from the Senate a day later were referred nearly instantaneously. I don't understand what the delay is on a formality like this, and this delay is holding up the budget. We must pass this bill, colleagues, so we can pass a budget. I repeat, we can't pass a budget until we pass health care transformation. The clock is ticking, colleagues. I want to get out of this session on time. My feelings wouldn't be hurt if we got out a little early. Let's start taking care of the business we came to do. Thank you.
Further remonstrances. Chair requests unanimous consent to return to the order of business of first reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Jensen will take a recess motion to 2:00 this afternoon.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon. That would be February 19th, or whoops.
17th,
2012.
Representative Jensen moves we stand in recess until 2:00 this afternoon. That's the 17th of February, 2012. Without objection, we stand at ease. Recess.